the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whenever I have difficulty with a passage of sacred scripture, I go to the catechism. That's a good practice. Since the catechism is a faithful exposition of the Word of God, I know I won't be wrong. I still might not understand the passage, but at least I won't speak contrary to the faith. That is the gift we have in the catechism. It keeps us properly grounded in Christ. He is the beginning and the ending of all theology. Hebrews 11 is filled with references to all the so-called heroes of the faith. By faith, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that, and the writer of the epistle didn't even bother to go through all of the things that the judges accomplished. They did a lot of things by faith, and we stand back in awe of these people. Wow, I wish I had faith like that. I wish I could be strong like that. I wish I could do these things. I certainly do. But this is wrong-headed, isn't it? The first thing I learned from the catechism about this text is that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe. The I puts the emphasis in the wrong place. The Holy Spirit has called me to faith by the gospel, by the word of grace, by the forgiveness of sins. The trust of my heart has no strength apart from the object of the trust, Christ. These cloud of witnesses give witness to him. He is their strength. He is our strength, our righteousness, our sanctification. He is, as Hebrews says in the next chapter, the author and finisher of our faith. I cannot, but Christ can. And he does all things for me. So all these people in the Old Testament did what they did and suffered what they suffered because the trust of their hearts was in Christ. But I'll tell you what I had the most difficulty with in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Did not receive the promise that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Was ist das? What does this mean? They did not receive the promise. I thought that it was by the promise to Abraham, that they came to faith. What does this mean? They did not receive the promise. It is repeated several times in the chapter. They all received a good testimony. They were the elect and chosen of God. They all received a good conscience by the forgiveness of sins received through faith. So how can it be said they did not receive the promise? What does this mean? So I went to the catechism. The only begotten Son of the Father has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. What was the goal of Christ's redemption? Some might ask, what was the goal of the gospel? Why did God become man? Why did he bear in his flesh your sin and mine? Why did he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins? The Catechism says, that I may be his own. He had no ulterior motives. He redeemed you for love's sake. That's what the office hymn said. For love's sake. That you may receive the very life of the Son of God as your own. Because he willed in love to give himself to you, his life, as your life. This was the hope of the people of old. They suffered all things, even death itself, rather than fall away from the object of their faith, Christ. This is a dangerous thing to say at the seminary, but I'll say it anyway. We don't believe in doctrines. We believe in a person, the person of the eternal Son of the Father. We believe in a person. By the shedding of his blood, he has made us his own, and we share in the very life of the Blessed Trinity. That which God willed to accomplish in love at creation, he has brought to completion in his Son. And our life is hid with Christ in God. The faithful cloud of witnesses who have gone before us certainly believed the promise. It was the source of their strength and the content of their hope. But they did not receive or experience in all its fullness what the promise guaranteed. Chief among these realities for which they hoped was the resurrection of the body, that the life of God willed that the creation in love might come to full flower in the person of his Son, in the redemption of the world. Chief among these realities they hoped for was the resurrection of the body. Christ is the first fruits of them that sleep. He is the first to rise from the dead, and the faithful of the old shall not precede him in the resurrection to eternal life. For he is the resurrection and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. You see, dear friends in Christ, Christ is the beginning and the ending of our faith. He is our life and salvation. He is all in all, and we are only complete in him together, the redeemed of the Lord, that his life and all the treasures of heaven might be ours in him. He redeemed me that I may be his own. The people of old waited in hope for the consummation of the promise made to Abraham in the resurrection of the body and eternal life in Christ. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. It is the blessed communion of which the writer to the Hebrews speaks, and which the hymn writer says, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, Lord Jesus, for all are thine. And again, what joy to know when life is past, the Lord we love is first and last, the end and the beginning. He will one day, O glorious grace, transport us to that happy place beyond all tears and sinning. Amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, crown of gladness. We are yearning for the day of your returning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.